Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
9:42 and a half, 17 and a half before 10 o'clock, and Newell Norman, who's got a great show coming up for you today, as always, and we'll find out from him in a little bit what it is that he's talking about. I can tell you this, the mandatory evacuation for St. Charles Parish has been lifted, so if you did in fact evacuate from St. Charles Parish, you can go back from whence you came. So keep that in mind. The mandatory evacuation that was on for St. Charles Parish has been lifted. You are free to come and go like you please and go back home. It has been, I'm calling it a hyperactive hurricane season. I don't know if that's a scientific term or not, but Jordan Jones joins us now. We've spoken already, and we welcome him back. Graduate researcher with the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University. I said, not Tim's telling me it's a girl. I know, Tim. I meant them. We welcome them back. But anyway, good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great, and I remembered you were a lady, so we don't need, you know, Tim causing all kind of trouble in here. Tell me about Sally. Let's start there and then work out to the bigger picture of hurricane season, et cetera, and the hyperactivity.
Right.
Does this storm remind you of any that you've studied and is part of the curriculum or part of what you guys do at Colorado State mm-hmm. University, studying past storms and the conditions, I guess, that caused them to do whatever it was they did?
Right. So I think in terms of the Gulf Coast, Sally is probably not the most striking. It is kind of interesting that we've had so much activity going through just south or pretty much making landfall very close to Louisiana this year. But it does bring back some memories about the 2005 season. I mean, you had quite a few hitting near Louisiana at that time. You had Wilma, you had Rita, Katrina, and apart from the number of storms that we're seeing in the Atlantic right now, everything is just sort of acting like and seeming like the 2005 season.
So in terms of commonalities, and I think that goes to prediction and some of the great work that you all do there, but in terms of commonalities, mm-hmm. the conditions that existed for that to happen, have you identified similar conditions between 2020 and 2005 that led to a similar year as far as storms go? And if you did, what are some of them?
Yeah, so I think CSU has been saying that for quite a while now, since April, that we have been seeing some really very favorable environmental conditions as early on as April. Particularly, we had low vertical wind shear, incredibly high sea surface temperatures. There was just really nothing that was impeding the formation of storms this year. Apart from what I would think are some well-placed African Sahel dust events, I think that this entire year has gone unimpeded in terms of storms and in terms of environmental conditions.
In terms of that Saharan dust, was that uncommon, or what happened in 2005, do you know, as it relates to the Saharan dust? Because I think what you're saying is, but for that, it would have been worse.
Yeah, I think, I don't think there were any any Sahel dust events in 2005. Yeah, there was nothing at all impeding the hurricane season in 2005. We, however, had one that was a major event early on in the year for us. And it somehow created pockets of dry air all around the North Atlantic that stifled development. There are also what we call upper tropospheric troughs that have been interacting with the storms this year. And the storms overall, I think in general, have been sort of short-lived, even if they have powered up, like in terms of, well, Paulette is still one that is currently going on and possibly intensifying. And there's also Renee and also Teddy and Vicky, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how long they'll survive.
Let me go to Sally, if I can, because that's the one that just refuses to leave us alone. Do you have every confidence that, because it hasn't really turned yet and it's barely moving, I don't know, 2 miles an hour, if that's within the margin of error as to whether it's actually moving or not, but scientific error, I should say, not like a poll, but are you confident it's going to make that northern turn, or is there anything in the upper atmosphere that could prevent that you're seeing mm-hmm. right now?
Yeah, so currently at the moment, I think let me just say there are the models that do say that there will be that northwest turn that will take it further away from Louisiana and will impact more Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. But it is true that there are no significant features, I think, within the area that might influence. I don't know. I guess there is some medium confidence that it will maintain that forecasted trajectory.
What did you say? Medium confidence?
Medium confidence, yes. Mm.
I was hoping for a large, not a medium. Jordan, I hate to tell you. Or maybe I wanted to supersize it, you know what I'm saying? There are things that...
Yes, there are
like
things
what?
That will... Okay, so one thing is that you do have steering flow, which is like low-level winds that will take it further northwest. However, one of the things that has been a real trick, I think, for forecasters this time around is that we have really low vertical wind shear. And if you have very low vertical wind shear, it's kind of hard to forecast where the vertical wind shear will impact a storm. And how it will change direction. So even though there is nothing really impeding Sally's northwestern turn, that can change from hour to hour. And that is what we're really tracking right now.
And let me just tell the audience, this lady is in Colorado. I believe you are right now. Are you not sure, Don?
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, in Colorado, she's a graduate researcher with the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University, and they're known, of course, the legacy of William Gray and the hurricane predictions every year. So don't think that anybody is trying to hype anything here at all. We're looking at it at strictly from a scientific level with Jordan's expertise. But on a scale of 1, and let's give you an index, you know, 1 to 10, how confident are you with 10 being absolutely sure that it's going to turn like it's supposed to be, and go toward, and we hate to wish anything bad on anybody else, but
right.
Move away from Louisiana, scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that it is going to make that northerly turn eventually?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. So if I may, I really prefer a range. Like to say 6 to 8.
Not as high as I would have liked, but you're telling me the truth, Jordan, and that's what else are you going to do? One other question I wanted to ask you in terms of updating forecasts. You all, there's no way, I hope that we can't wait for any kind of there's no more a revision of predictions or anything, or extended hurricane season or anything, as far as you guys.
Well, right. In terms of CSU, we will be updating our forecast, I think, tomorrow. It probably will not be very far from what you already know, that it is still an active season, and there is still definitely, well, as you can, you know, observe now, there's definitely a lot of potential for the intensification of storms and for the further development of storms. We're practically at the last naming on the list and may move into that Greek alphabet a little early than expected. But I think you're right. There may not be as much change to our forecast as we move away from that peak season. And we do release those updates every 2 weeks.
Anything you want to add before we let you go?
So I think it has been CSU's message from early April. Even though Sally is just hurricane strength and may dwindle down into a tropical storm after landfall, it has the potential to bring damage. It's a slow-moving storm. It is a rain-making storm. Please be on alert just in case. There is still some peak surge that will affect the southeast coast of Louisiana. And even though it may not be evacuation type damage or type level of alert, please be on alert and stay safe.
Thank you. I appreciate your time so much. I really do. And I hope we talk to you again. Jordan Jones, graduate researcher with the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University. The 10 o'clock update is out. It is still moving northwest at 2 miles an hour, and the pressure's at 983. And I just wonder, and I use that term margin of error, I don't know if 2 miles an hour is even perceptible on this. I guess if you have a defined enough storm, you can do that. We'll talk more. Newell Norman joins us when we come back. He'll tell you what he's got planned for you here on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.